Good afternoon. It is past 12:30 now, and I want to welcome everybody to the Transportation Committee meeting of Mount Pleasant Town Council for this July 5th. Remind everybody, it feels like Monday, but it is Tuesday. So as I got a jolt reminding me of that earlier today. Our agenda has been published. Item number two would be approval of the minutes from the April 4th, 2022 meeting.
Move for approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If there's anyone here to make a public comment, please come forward. We would need your name and address. Anyone to speak in public comments? Going once. All right. Item number four, employee years of service recognition. Mr. Morris.
That's right. Let me get this on. Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the committee. I'm going to call David McLawhorn up here real quick, and we're going to recognize him for 15 years of service for the town of Mount Pleasant. Later this month, he'll hit that 15. David started in our public services department 11 years ago before moving into transportation and then EDS, which we're now called. So he's been 4 years with us as a senior roadway inspector. I want to note that during his time as employment, he went to a small school on the banks of the Ashley to get his graduate degree. His BS degree in business, which is a very good business school, and at the Citadel Evening College. So aside from working, he's improved himself professionally also. Dave is a huge asset to the department as a roadway senior roadway inspector. He manages all the field operations inspections for both our CIP projects that we do in-house, as well as all public roads that are dedicated to town through the residential building process. So he's got a lot on his plate. He also works with our pavement management system and the encroachment permit system. So David's known around the office for his quick wit, and we enjoy having him with us, and hope the 15 years is just a start, and you can do at least 13 more. You're 54% there, David.
All right.
And the check is in the mail.
Thank you very much on behalf of all of us on the committee. Item number five is an update on the Vaughn Ed Key Parkway, which is US 17 to Rifle Range Connector.
Yes,
I
sir.
Think there's been some progress, and there's been some interest and information we need to get out. So I appreciate you all giving us this briefing.
Absolutely, Mayor. And what you can see here is just the overall concept for the parkway, which goes from US 17 all the way to Rifle Range Road through the county and joint land county and town park. Some recent photos of our construction where we're clearing the right of way at this point in time. This is Banks, right? Banks Construction. Let's go the right way. So wanted to give a little bit of history now that the project started to understand kind of how we've gotten to where we are today. It's been in our plans for many years. It was in our 2011 CHATS long-range transportation plan, which was adopted by the town. It was at that point it was called Long Point Road Extension. In 2013, the town did a study of all projects north of the IOP connector that needed to be prioritized for funding. This was one of them, and this is the priority. Billy Swales Boulevard was number one. We've completed that in two phases. First 4A was constructed in 2015 along with the school campus, and of course we're coming down the home stretch on 4B. And Long Point realignment, that design is complete. That was a part of this project. And then the extension itself, which is now Vaughn Ed Key Parkway, is currently under construction. So this was placed in our CIP for design in 2017, and then through the next couple of years we fully funded the project. It was authorized, in 2018 it was authorized for design. And then it was renamed in 2020 to its current name. Construction began in June, and we're supposed to be completed in October of next year. The full cost estimate for the project's about $10.6 million.
October 23 is the...
Yes, sir. October 2023. Yes, sir.
Completion.
And along with that history, I wanted to present a few of the applicable goals that and various plans that the town has. number one being our comp plan, which is the long-range transportation plan is a part by law of the comprehensive plan, and we have that referenced in our safe and efficient mobility, the mobility section of that plan. The first item you see there really gets to the whole to the point, and that's connectivity. This road connects to other major arterial roads, which can disperse the traffic onto the network, thereby relieving congestion at more intersections. So that's really its primary purpose. We obviously integrate portion of Mount Pleasant Way is along this route, and you know, along with our normal mobility goals of just completing infrastructure for the future conditions within the town. So there's some strat plan goals there and the project purpose and need, but I just wanted to put that out there for you to utilize. We have all of this on a fact sheet that is now embedded in our webpage, and we're doing that for all of our projects. So it would just be a one page. So if anybody asks about the project, just hand them the fact sheet. And with that, that's a brief overview. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Mr. Chapman.
Mayor, you mentioned it briefly to start with. We need to do a better job letting the public know where we are with some of these projects. I would like to propose that we, like many jurisdictions do, put up a sign at the road, at the intersection, road under construction, such and such. Naming mayor and council, and this is just one of them. People have written letters to the editor recently, and I'm working on a response to one of them about, you know, why aren't we improving our transportation and our roads, but we're going out for a referendum for recreation. We are doing that, and so by putting up, you know, just a sign where the construction is underway at Coleman and Patriots Point Boulevard, at Rifle Range, and I'm having a hard time with this new name. This is the first time I've heard the name. Vaughn Road, I'll call it. And also on the right-of-way that we own, or the extension of Billy Swales. Those three are major construction projects that we essentially have underway. Now, I agree we don't have under construction right now, the last of the Billy Swales, but we own the right-of-way. We're doing the design. We're going to construction 2023. So I would like to suggest that we do that to let the public know how much we have underway at this time.
And to comment on that, part of what happened with this was people going up and down Rifle Range, even though I think they knew eventually it was going to happen, when trees started coming down, and in Mount Pleasant there's the, you know, there's development fatigue, was, oh my gosh, what's going in here? I don't remember seeing any yellow signs or anything like that, and there was sort of a shock factor. But this has been on our books and been on our planning since, if it goes back to what, 2011, 2013, that predates any of our service on this council. So it's been out there. It's just that, you know, people aren't looking at our website. It's not that we haven't tried to get it out there, but I think maybe the sign by the road is a good thing. You know, soon this will be cleared. This is part of such and such. Here's our website, that
right.
type of thing.
Right. And it's just, there are a lot of people who have moved in here mm-hmm. in the last few years. Mm-hmm. So I just think, other jurisdictions do it. There's no reason why we shouldn't.
Don't have to put our names on the sign. Just the town.
Or whatever. Whatever you want.
Your phone number, maybe.
Whatever. I'm happy for that. But just so that when they do drive by, oh, yeah, the town is right. improving transportation.
Right.
It is building some new roads.
Right.
Mr. Chapman, to your point, and Mr. Mayor, we are having signs made. They're typically a part of the contractor's responsibility, but in this case, we're going to do them for both of those two projects. And I think also to your point, perhaps in an appropriate location on Hamlin and on 6 Mile, we could go ahead and place those signs as a forthcoming project.
Yes, I think we need to do it. Yes, sir.
If I may, Mr. Chapman, for the record, for public, Bonnie Wachee was a Mount Pleasant police officer. That's why it's being named him. He was killed December 13, 1985, protecting our town. He's the only one of our officers ever losing his life in a line of duty. That's why we're honoring him by naming this, sir. It's why you, the one that on there.
No, thank you, and that should be on the sign.
Right. Should it be called a memorial? What do we call it? Freeway? Parkway? Should it be the Vaughn Ed Key Memorial Parkway to convey the fact that it was someone who?
I've heard that. But historically, any troopers or any officer who's lost their life on duty, it's just a road's name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
After them, it's usually the location where it occurred. So I don't necessarily see memorial on that.
All right.
But it could be done.
It's been named. It's already in the 911 system. Not to say you couldn't go back and do this, but it was adopted in 2020 by the Planning Commission, and there was consultation with the police at that police department at that time, and they thought that was appropriate.
Right. So if you'll go back to the map, the question I had was, I have lost track in my mind of if you're over here on Rifle Range, where is the entrance to Liberty Hill or Palmetto Fort?
I believe, I don't know the date of this aerial, but I think it's right below where I have this red mark.
Okay.
Right in here.
Okay.
Maybe somewhere here.
So down there, and I'm not sure where the property lines are, where's the park in relation? I'm looking at the top aerial photo here. Part's the county and part county parks, and part is the town's portion of that, right? Of the park?
Yes, sir. On this side, I'll just call it the north side of the parkway, is the county's section. So all of this area, well, this is private land, but from this point down, all of this section south of the road and up to the Confederate embankment down here, that's all the town's property.
Okay.
And there so has
one of the points to clear up is the completion of this road has nothing to do with whatever happens or does not happen with the Rifle Range Park portion of the bond referendum. Is that correct? Right. The road is a standalone project.
It does serve a purpose, and that is it'll help motorists get in and out of it, but its primary purpose is to connect.
Right. Is to be part of our connection. And it has nothing to do, because I saw one assertion that, wow, they're clearing the road to the park, and they hadn't even put a bond referendum out there yet. And so it has nothing to do with that. I was trying to remember from memory what this intersection looks like, because I think, at least for a period of time, the roundabout down there by the new Liberty Hill development was not going to connect into the park in another way. At one point it was, and then it wasn't. I've lost track of that. But this is not a roundabout.
No, sir. This is a standard turn lane, left turn lane on Rifle Range to turn on the facility, and a right turn lane off of Rifle Range to turn on the facility.
Right. And then when you come down here, this reflects the new, I think I see Christ Church down here. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's Christ Church.
This is the new alignment that we voted on after we worked with Willie McRae.
Yes, sir.
Back at Boone Hall.
That was another study. Yes, sir.
One mistake we made, and I've learned this lesson. You learn lessons in a few years of public service, is when you realign a road, don't keep the same name. Not that we did, but we kept referring to it as the Long Point Road extension. And I thought y'all weren't extending Long Point. Well, it's not Long Point Road. But we sort of kept referring to it as that. So I'm glad that, from now on, we'll refer to it as the officer to me.
Vaughn Ed Key Parkway, yes, sir.
Vaughn Ed Key Parkway. All right. So it comes in, it skirts Christ Church right there.
Yes,
I'm not sure what in here is county and what in here is town. Will this be a restricted access? Is it that type of parkway?
There won't be any designation, but by the design of the master plan for the park, and the predetermined location of a tie-in at this location to that, I don't know, can't remember the name of this neighborhood up here, it's built now, but there's a tie-in at that location.
Right.
And there's one parcel that's developable, that's proposed, we've heard to be proposed to be developed on number 7 here. So So there could be an access to that parcel. But other than that, it's just what's in our...
And where does that stand? Is that before our planning at this point?
No, sir. It's not. It's just the developers have talked to us because they know we're building a road. It goes right by their property. I think we're having to acquire a small bit from their property. So there's discussions with them. But nothing is entered into our planning process yet.
Okay. And a portion of this is in wetlands, apparently.
Yes, sir. That's been permitted.
All but permitted through the Corps of Engineers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that involved public hearings, of course, and all of that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Down here, where you can see, this is to the right of the screen, where it looks like there's the road comes through, and then there's two little access points. Keep going. There you go, right there.
Those correspond to the master plan for the town that we went ahead and we know that those two locations are pretty much set. So we went ahead and built out the intersection to have the curb cuts there. So one will access on the north side of the county property. The other will enter the town's facilities.
The town's facility.
Yes, sir.
So that would be the way to get into our portion of the park.
One of the ways. And if you look at the master plan, there's another road that will come up and access west of there.
And then as you continue to rifle range, will that be a lighted intersection or signaled or?
Could be in the future. We don't anticipate it opening. It's kind of like the Sweetgrass Basket Parkway, 6 Mile. It's operating well without the signal, but that would definitely be a location once the volumes build that we would have a signal at that location.
Okay. So it'll have a turn lane from rifle range?
Yes, sir. Turn lanes on all the approaches, including Vaughn Ed Key, will have both a left and a right turn.
All right. Any other questions? So the completion would be October of 23.
Yes, sir.
And if the voters don't approve a bond referendum, the parkland stays for all intent and purposes, unless we come up with another plan. It just stays as it is now.
Yes, sir.
Right. Not going to be affected by this road at all.
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Moore, you got any comments, anything to add?
No, sir.
What's the, it's two lanes, right?
Yeah, we'll call it a three-lane portion of it.
Portion of it has medium.
Yeah. So it has a restricted medium. Okay. But at the locations of access points, we have turn lanes.
And so that's normally how wide is that?
36 feet, 15 and 39 feet. About 39 feet of pavement.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you on that one. I appreciate
it. Yes, sir.
We will move on to item number 6, update on the traffic signal system. I know y'all have been troubleshooting, doing some evaluation, finding some issues, which I greatly appreciate. Would love an update on how that's going and any issues you've uncovered.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor and members of the committee. We'll continue to keep the format that we've presented to you in the past, which really highlight our three main corridors that have signalized intersections along them. The first and most prominent 17 corridor. All of the issues that we were seeing with our previously purchased radar detection have been replaced with FLIR thermal cameras. So those are up and operating and, again, continue to troubleshoot as things happen and systems go down as they do over time. But nothing else to report along that particular corridor. On the Coleman Ben Sawyer corridor, we still have an approximately 18 of those radar units that are still to be replaced, and we're working with the vendor to again get those FLIR thermal replacements, and in the interim are operating where we have existing loop detections at those locations or adjusting pre-timed signal timings by time of day. I anticipate that those 18 units will be replaced within the next 2 months. And then moving on to our Long Point Road corridor. This corridor here, we are looking sort of in response to the deficiencies of the radar detection at a different company, GridSmart, to utilize sort of a beta testing location at the intersection of Long Point and Bell Point Drive. This is a detection unit that uses video similar to the other locations on these other two corridors, but also has a component on the back end that allows us to get more granular information such as turning movements, volume, speeds, vehicle classifications that will be helpful in analyzing the corridor and tweaking timings, not only at this intersection, but at the adjacent locations as well.
Okay. You really get my attention on tweaking timing. And I admit I'm not a professional at this. I don't understand why at some intersections, and one is like if you're coming out of the old village, you're coming out of Wilden Street, and you do that little thing where you come into the median, and then there's the light at Coleman and Mill Street. And coming home from church yesterday, it happened again. I get the green light, and I move on to Coleman, but the light at Mill Street, the very next light, is still red, and it's still red, and it's still red. And I'm sitting there with a green, so I'm sitting in the middle of the road. And there must be some kind of detection or something going on. It's not the only one. This one does it right here, too. That's the biggest headache in Mount Pleasant. Everybody knows that, right? Besides Highway 41, which is not our issue to fix. But right here, this intersection, and it's not y'all's fault. I'm not throwing blame, but it has just turned into. But sometimes when you're headed that way, you get the green light right here at the frontage road right by Melvin's. But it's red right there at 17. So you're moving and traffic's moving. And you've got green and this got red. And I guess my question is that by design? Is that a sequencing issue? Is there anything we can do on some of those?
Yeah, so as you alluded to, tweaking of timing, it's an ever-moving target, especially when school lets out. You know, we have changes in travel patterns, but peak hours typically seem to remain the same. So to address the first concern at Wilden and the Simmons Street intersections, and Mill Street rather, so that is part of those locations that we have not yet replaced that radar detection with those thermal units. And once that happens, we'll see a pretty decent improvement in that progression. Okay. The other issue with the Wilden and Mill Street intersections is the proximity of those two locations.
Right.
And just the, you know, that distance similar to out here at Houston Northcutt and the frontage road. It is a lot to do with the proximity and available queuing space between those two signals. But we'll continue to look at it, investigate, and make changes out front here. I think one of the things that we've recently done, which again we'll continue to look at and make changes as really us and our consultants here see fit, or from feedback from council or citizens, is try to create the signal timings in a way that we don't promote the blocking of that intersection, which becomes pretty prominent, and then the side streets there and the left turns coming from 17 suffer and sometimes back up into 17. So that was where some of those tweaks have been made, and we understand that there's a little bit of delay and additional queuing that happens in particular coming from Town Hall towards 17 in the peak hour, PM peak hour. But again, that's intended to address that blocking of the intersection, but we can certainly go back, look at it, make some changes.
Okay.
It's, again, an ever-evolving and moving target.
I agree, and I commend your work on that. But part of what you were talking about is that the upgrading of these units, these 18, especially in the Coleman and Ben Sawyer corridor, could fix that just because of the detection is better. Is that right? Or
it is. So currently what we're operating on those two signals and where we have it along the Coleman corridor is loop detection. And when a signal is installed, those are the in-ground units that you see sort of as a figure eight as you approach a stop bar at an intersection. And historically, when you install a traffic signal, you have that type of detection for the mainline left turns and then the side street approaches as well. Through this corridor, some of those exist, some don't, and some are actually down right now that we're working to get up as sort of a temporary patchwork. In particular, the Mill Street intersection is the one that we're having issues with the existing loop detection right now, and working with our on-call signal consultants or signal contractors rather to mitigate that and repair it. So that's sort of what we're running right now. So there's assumptions that are made for the mainline through approaches that, you know, are based off of historical traffic volumes and patterns that may not always be the case during a given point of a day. So they may receive a little bit more green time when in fact it looks as if no one's there, and that's sort of that balance we play until we get this new detection units delivered and installed.
Okay. And you said that this these 18 that remain to be done will take about how long to complete?
We anticipate about 2 months. Our vendor right now is working with the manufacturer of these units to get those delivered, and we've been again working on this for say about the last 8 months or so. There's again, the pandemic. And then I actually learned a fun fact that these units that we purchased through FLIR are also have a military side. So yeah, the whole conflict in Russia has kind of taken that supply off the table that would have otherwise been there.
Wow. Is it the same type FLIR that you normally associate with military?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Wow. Any comments, questions on this? All right, can we move on to the update on the ongoing projects? Thank you, James.
We will, Mayor, but I want to say something about the Houston Northcutt, and something you brought up is we recently, and you probably noticed this because I noticed it too, we recently, Mr. Chapman probably noticed this because he's like me, looks at signals. We allowed some different phasing to occur there, and what we're finding and James is exactly right. We're trying to fix one issue, and at an overcapacity or near capacity intersection, it's very difficult. But we allowed that, and I think that we're getting more queuing back this way towards Town Hall than we don't get the progression through the signal that we did, and we could also clear a lot more of that queue when we had the right turn could overlap with the left turn. I'm just saying, I think there's probably some changes we need to do right there. Okay. Long term, Houston Northcutt, of course, has been identified for a really high capacity interchange. In 2006, we looked at, we did the Johnny Dodds mobility study, perhaps. That was 2006, where we, at that point in time, determined that we would not do a grade separation interchange at that location. It was not the appropriate time for that. I think
That's technical speak for an overpass, right?
Yes, sir.
Grade separation. I like that. Okay.
I'm bad at that. Yes, sir. Interchange, grade separation. So, we know what we need long term there. It may not be a grade separated interchange, but it needs to be some sort of higher capacity design. It's either that or, you can just agree to live with that delay at those points in time. But there are other continuous flow intersections, super streets, even newer types of concepts that are coming out. So long term, it's identified in our CIP that's over $100 million worth of improvements needed on Johnny Dodds. So that would certainly, just to let everybody know, that it's not something that was forgotten.
The worst thing there, as someone who drives it every single day, is the people, when they're coming out from where Melvin's, between Melvin's and the bank, and they're going to the lane to go up the Ravenel Bridge, they come across every one of those lanes, come hell or high water, they're crossing all those. And you got people coming out the other side who are going over this way to go north. And I have sat there sometimes just in amazement at what's going on.
And you
mentioned it before. It might take some major changes there. Just speaking off the cuff here, and this is not a proposal, so I see the press here. Don't say we're doing this. But, I mean, I've even wondered as a driver, not as an elected official, would it be better for people going to the bridge to have to go down to McGrath-Darby, get on and get that way, because coming that way with, is it four lanes? Yeah, there's two going left and might be five lanes, two right, two left and one center, or at least four. They're coming all the way across, and then you got people coming out this way, and it gets really backed up. So that's not your fault, but it's something that needs to, somehow we've got to figure that out.
I think sequencing
might help that a lot.
Yes, sir. I mean, there's only so much we'll do with the signal, but
right.
I think that whole solution there is going to have to look at not just the intersection, just like we did before. It's going to involve the frontage road system, just like we had to do at Bowman. How does this tie into McGrath-Darby and existing Wingo Way and things like that? So long term, I think that's what we need to be looking at.
Okay. Others?
I'm going to let Paul come up and do ongoing projects.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the committee. This is the project updates, our CIP projects. The first project is the Patriots Point. And this is a photograph looking down McGrath-Darby towards Coleman Boulevard and Patriots Point. We're still in the utility relocation mode that we started back in February. Recall, we had a built-in utility window schedule in the contract. We're coming up on the last month of that. We're tracking along okay. Might be a little bit behind, We're still waiting on AT&T to relocate some of their facilities, but you can see the contractor's got all his water lines stored up and ready to go there. The contractor ordered pipe back in January, and he'll finally take delivery of the storm drain pipe this month. So once he gets going with the roadway work, we should be good to go, and the construction will take about another year after that. Any questions on that project? Billy Swales. Okay, so the Billy Swales project, we've completed the NEPA work. I think I may have updated you that previously. We're waiting on the FONSI, which is a finding of no significant impact. And once we get that, SEDOT will authorize us to begin right-of-way acquisition. We have done a few upfront items, preliminary right-of-way acquisition efforts with our cost estimate and property database searches. Once we begin acquisition, that process will take a good year, and construction is scheduled to start in July of next year. Any questions on Billy Swales?
Could you go back to the last slide, please? It says began initial right-of-way acquisition efforts in June. I presume that was last month, June of 2020.
Yes, sir. We just preliminary stuff, title work, title searches, database, creating a database, creating the brochures for the appraisals, stuff like that. We haven't made any contact with property yet.
Okay.
Or started the appraisal process.
I was hoping that it was further along, but it was June last month.
Yes, sir.
Not June of 23.
We have $10 million in federal money, and to that point, we're somewhat at the mercy of the feds as far as how fast we can move, and we're always ready to move faster than they are to approve. And since we just got the FONSI, we went ahead and started somewhat at a risk to us, not really. We started that right away, the things we can do without making contact with the property owners.
So rather than you just received it, this says is forthcoming. I mean, sounds like it's been received.
It's a technical issue. I'll let...
So we began some initial efforts in June.
He's talking about the FONSI.
Oh, the FONSI.
He's just saying it's forthcoming.
The FONSI is forthcoming. Yes.
Mr. Morrison just said, now that we have it.
We've essentially been given approval of the EA. The FONSI has not been issued yet.
Okay. But it's, we don't have any doubt we're getting the FONSI.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is finding of no significant impact.
That's very important. I appreciate it.
Yes, it is.
The next project is the Maritime Port District improvements. We let that project last month. We advertised and we received no bids, unfortunately. We're a little bit disappointed. If you could go to the next slide, Brad. We've talked to several contractors out in this market, and everybody's busy. There's labor issues. Some contractors don't have enough estimators. Other folks were concerned about having to work at night with the traffic, but we are discussing some potential incentives with some of the smaller bidders to get them to start bidding some of our projects.
Yes, sir, and that's important because when we get that feedback from the contractors, it allows us to somewhat tailor the next bid. And we don't think that we're going to have to wait very long. A lot of this is just timing on when a contractor has capacity to do something. So what we found was that when we put it on the street, they were busy. But it looks like some windows and some other types of things. We could even put in bonuses for early work or early finish and things like that. So we're considering that in the next bid and then directly talk to some of these contractors. So what further? What else can we do to get you to bid?
And again, for clarity, is this the TIF money that we moved over to that district for that, or is this separate?
It has TIF money as well as other funding, but it does have TIF. Yes, we did move TIF money from Patriots Point to this location.
Right, okay. And the part that was put out for advertisement, is this, do from when you're coming off 526 going towards Shipping Lane, or is this a different?
Yes, well, you're going towards Shipping Lane. It's the first signalized intersection when you get off the, it's Hobcall Bluff and Wando Park Boulevard.
Okay.
And it was essentially an intersection improvement project.
Right. And did commendable work with the neighborhood to get a design that works for them,
sir,
and doesn't decimate their entrance and all that.
Sir.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
As I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
So we just hope that by working with contractors, and it's more of a timing issue, it's not something that good contractors don't want to bid on. It's just there's a lot of money chasing a lot of infrastructure right now, probably more than any time in modern history.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
We talked to one contractor, and they took a very hard look at this, one of the bigger contractors, but they didn't have enough estimators to estimate.
Wow.
So it's a labor issue as well.
We've got Friday morning, the about two or three times a year, they do the Wando Good Neighbors meeting over there. I see Officer Carter in the back. He's a veteran of many of those meetings. This would be good for us to have as a town, if we could have a little a printed out version of this to take with us Friday. That would be good, because we always get asked where we stand on our progress on this over there. Y'all, that's the thing they do every, that the Ports Authority does, and the trucking companies are there, the Ports Authority, Mount Pleasant Police is always there with numbers and statistics, and it's about how to keep this part of Long Point working, since we've got a major container port there, and we've got three neighborhoods plus our businesses, not to overlook them, but the neighborhoods are more, they show up and they are, usually have more concerns than the businesses in that area do. Not that there aren't any, but the neighborhoods are usually very concerned. And we haven't had one in a while, so this will be the first one in about a year. So it'll be a good meeting, I think.
Very good.
That's all. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Any questions from the committee? All right. If there is nothing else, I believe that continues all of our agenda items. Right. If there is nothing else before this committee, then we will stand adjourned. Thank you.